Hi everyone, so today I'm going to talk about the state of the Rust SDK in 2023, so all the things that we've accomplished as of last year and some of our future plans as well. So first of all, who am I and how did I get into the Rust SDK? Well, I'm Benjamin Bouvier. I'm a software engineer in the Rust team at Element. Prior to that, I've worked in a game engine, game dev company on a game engine that was written in Rust and WebAssembly. And prior to that, at Mozilla as a compiler engineer in the SpiderMonkey team, which is the JavaScript engine powering Firefox, where I did Rust and WebAssembly. So you can sense that there is a common theme here. Back in the days at Mozilla, we were using IRC. And so I wrote a few bots that were just pulling out jokes from the internet and posting them on the channels. And then at some point, we decided to use this new cool thing called Matrix. And so I rewrote my bots so that they could also run on the Matrix using JavaScript at the time, because when you work at Mozilla, you have to bet on JavaScript all the time. And then a few years later, I decided to rewrite it in Rust because I like Rust. And I made this framework system called Trinity that would use Rust for interacting with the Matrix system. And then you can actually write the bot commands themselves in using WebAssembly, which is pretty sweet and highly experimental. Do not use it in production. It's mostly a fun project. And that's how I started to use the Rust SDK. So what is the Rust SDK? Very good question. So it's a Rust library implementing the client-server API to allow you to implement clients easily if you want to use Rust in your project. So the code is available on GitHub under the Apache 2 license. And it does all the things that you would expect from a Matrix client, logging in, logging out, sending messages, receiving messages. But I guess the most interesting thing is that you get end-to-end encryption for free, and you don't have to worry about the, excuse my French, gory details, in the sense that you don't have to learn about ULM, MEGULM, like uploading your keys, claiming keys, querying keys, and all of that stuff, which is very fine, and that we handle for you. Some history for this Rust SDK. So there was, in the past, one project that was called RUMA, for Rust Matrix, which modeled all the events that are happening in a Matrix room timeline, and also all the requests and responses to the endpoints. And the goal at the time, I think, was to try to create a home server in Rust. Eventually, that didn't happen. For the RUMA project itself, but people realized that it was a good idea to actually model all those events, requests, and responses and reuse them across other projects, right? And there was another Rust home server that started to be written, and that is Conduit. Like in another timeline in the world, so there was Damir, who is now the team lead at the Rust SDK team at Element. He was doing Rust on his free time, and he maintained a small plugin so that you can use WeChat with Matrix, and that was written in Python. And so, as he was trying to learn Rust, he decided to rewrite it in Rust. And the thing is, he did so. He searched for a library written in Rust to do that, and there was none. So he decided to start one, and that's how the Matrix Rust SDK started. And from the outset, it started to use RUMA because it made sense, and that allowed to reuse massive amounts of code, which was very nice. And Damir, being a crypto engineer, he also implemented all the crypto stack, which was very sweet. And then that was first in the Matrix Rust SDK, and all of that code was pulled out and extracted as an independent library called VodoseMac, which apparently in Croatian means amphibian, and it's like a big pun across languages like ULM, MEGULM, and like all of these just refers to amphibians, it seems. And so that's how it goes. All right, so why Rust, you would ask? Well, this is my minute for the Rust Evangelizing Task Force. You're probably convinced if you're here already, but it's like, at the same time, high level and super fast. It allows you to write code in a very fast fashion without having to worry about lots of low-level details and issues. It is secure and memory safe, which is very nice for a library because you want to have something very robust. It has an amazing tooling and ecosystem, like all the packages, the crates that are published on crates.io give you all the things that you want to have. And like the cargo, the tool that does it all is just wonderful. You can run tests and generate the documentation and all of that to just one tool. Also very important for the rest of this talk, it is compatible with foreign function interfaces, so you can call into other native languages that speak the C ABI. So it's quite important, you'll see. And one of the things that is maybe a bit undervalued in the Rust community is that it's actually also in trying to empower you to write multi-threaded code without you having to know too much about it, trying to make it very accessible. And it's a value that was in the community first, and you can find it in all the places. It translates to all the places in Rust, from the error messages that just hold your hand and try to explain you what you did wrong and try to tell you how to fix the problem that you run into, et cetera, et cetera. So it's very sweet to use. And yeah, being a former C++ programmer, so there was this notice in one of the offices where I worked before that read, "You must be this tall to write multi-threaded code." And it's apparently at a 3 meters high placard on the wall. So this is something of the past. Like with Rust, you can just be fearless when you're writing multi-threaded code because there is this thing called the ownership model. And that makes it really easy to also model concurrent implementation of anything, really. So that's really, really nice. So why the REST SDK? Well, there was this history where we had three apps, basically Android apps, the iOS apps, and the web version that is also powering the desktop version. And they all were using a different SDK and a different crypto stack. So that means that if you are serious about your security and you want to, for instance, audit your cryptography, now you have to do it in three places and make sure that every single implementation actually does what it's supposed to do, which is a bit of a nightmare. And now you have also per platform